I'm going to go back to this story in Chicago. This is being reported today by Fox 32. Chicago police say three West Side gangs plotting to shoot cops, of course, in response to yet another officer-involved shooting. In Chicago, in Milwaukee, in any big city, in Madison, there are going to be officer-involved shootings. Now it seems like every single time there's an officer-involved shooting and the person who was shot is black, doesn't matter what the criminal record of this person looks like, doesn't matter that in the city of Chicago, for instance, with some of the toughest gun control laws in America, that somehow thugs with felony records as tall, as long as I am tall, are able to get their hands on guns and shoot people. The protest is for the criminal against the cops, and now the cops are being targeted. You know, the answer by the Democrats is more gun control, is coming down on law enforcement, and that's the exact wrong response. I happen to have John Lott standing by on the phone. He's got a brand new book out. Some of you may already be familiar with John, but he's got a new book out, and he's on the program to talk about not just the book and gun control, it's the war on guns, you know, all of this mayhem going around that is all designed to politicize the idea of law and order and the Second Amendment itself. John, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back.
It's great to talk to you again, Vicki.
Wow, with this story out of Chicago. So now you've got cops who are being targeted. If the cops are going to be afraid to do anything about the crooks, then what is the average citizen going to do about the bad guy with the gun when the Democrats are pledging, as Hillary Clinton essentially has, to appoint Supreme Court justices to overturn Heller and to tee up yet another round of very, very restrictive gun control?
Right. No, I mean, it's a sad situation all the way around. Obviously, if the police pull back on their efforts, you're going to see an increased crime. There'll be less risk for criminals going committing crime, and they'll commit more. But Hillary Clinton, multiple times, has made it very clear that she wants to overturn the Heller and the McDonald decisions. Those decisions struck down D.C.'s handgun ban, and the McDonald decision struck down the Chicago handgun ban. They were very narrow decisions. They were decided 5-4. Just replacing Antonin Scalia will reverse those decisions because you have four members, liberal members of the Supreme Court, who've already said that they would overturn it. And what overturning it means is that local governments or the federal government or any other government will again have the power to ban guns, ban all guns or ban all handguns. And so you look at a place like Chicago, which presumably may be likely to go back and try to ban guns again. If you don't have the police and you don't allow individuals to be able to go and defend themselves, one, it's not really obvious what the Second Amendment means if the government is capable, when it wants to, of banning guns. But two, I mean, what's the alternative for these individuals to be able to go and protect themselves? My research indicates that it's basically the most vulnerable people in our society, the poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, who benefit the most from owning guns to protect themselves. And as you say, when you go and you ban guns, it's not stopping the drug gangs from being able to go and have guns any more than banning illegal drugs has stopped those gangs from being able to sell illegal drugs.
Yeah, the gangs sell the guns. This is, well, where do they get the guns? They must drive to Wisconsin to the Gander Mountain. No, they don't. The gangs, the criminal syndicates have the guns. If it's a matter of if they're stealing the guns or if they're running the guns, they're getting there just like the drugs, John. If you say, well, we're going to ban heroin, how's that gone? I mean, how's that been going? This idea that, oh, this is the, you know, you don't care about young black lives, or you don't care about, you know, young kids in poor neighborhoods, you extremists. And that, let's talk about the way the left is starting to go after not just the idea of guns, John, but now the individual gun owner. Now, I'm a bad person. I support mass murder, or I support dead black kids, or whatever it might be. Now I am being personally, villainized as some kind of, you know, evil thing, because I think I should have the right to defend myself.
I think you do too. I mean, the thing is, it's been kind of a systematic attack on poor people and minorities being able to own guns. What's not appreciated is that the types of gun control that the Democrats people that have primarily been disarmed. I'll give you a couple examples. Back in 2013, when Colorado was passing its background checks on private transfers, I was dealing with some members of the state legislature there, and I had the idea to put up an amendment that would, for people below the poverty level, they would be exempt from having to pay the new state tax on transferring guns. With the exception of two pro-gun Democrats in the state house there, every other Democrat voted against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay that tax. I mean, how many taxes can you think of where Democrats vote essentially unanimously against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay it?
Interesting. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that you had proposed that, but that does say a lot, because it wasn't about saying that you're exempt from the background check. It was about saying you're exempt from the tax. Translation: we don't want you poor folks who are the most likely victims of crime to be able to defend yourself from becoming victims of crime. And now at the same time, look at what is going on with the police. Now the police are being marginalized, and the people who are supposed to help the disarmed poor targets of crime are now being told they're not supposed to help those disarmed poor targets of crime.
Right. Well, you know, and that's just one example I go through in the book, The War on Guns. You look at the background checks, they're basically racist in terms of who they stop from buying guns. Because, you know, just last week, for example, Hillary Clinton was saying that there are 2.4 million dangerous, prohibited people that have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks. That's a lie. What she should say is that there have been 2.4 million initial denials. And it'd be nice if she mentioned that about 99% of those initial denials turned out to be false positives. You know, it's one thing to stop somebody who is a felon. It's another thing to stop somebody simply because they have a name similar to a felon. And the problem is that people tend to have similar names to others in their racial groups. Asians to other Asians, Hispanics have similar names to other Hispanics, blacks have names to other blacks. And when you have 30% of black males in the United States legally forbidden from being able to own guns because of past criminal histories, who are they most likely to have names similar to? Law-abiding black males, good people who want to have a gun to be able to go and defend themselves, who are being stopped simply because they're more likely than other groups to have names similar to the blacks who are legally forbidden from owning guns. And it's much worse now than it used to be, because at least under the Clinton or Bush administrations, the government would eventually go back, maybe after a year or whatever, and realize that it made a mistake. But what's happened now is that the Obama administration has pulled off every single person that used to check for errors. Nobody is doing that now. Now, it's true you can go and appeal, but the problem is it's a relatively complicated process. And most people are going to find it necessary to go and hire a lawyer to be able to go and get through that process. And that costs thousands of dollars. And so one has to ask the Obama administration, who do they think they're stopping from being able to go and buy guns with this?
Yeah, it's not basically, me. Right? Not me. Right. Although I'm the one that's the enemy, because I'm the one that's saying, or you're the enemy because you're the one that's saying, look, this is common sense stuff. That's what you're saying is common sense. You've been doing this a long time, John. You've been doing this longer than I have been paying attention to this issue. You've been doing this longer than I've been a gun owner. What's the motivation? What's the operating motivation on the left, in your estimation?
You know, it's hard to get in people's minds exactly what's motivating them. I can just tell you what the outcome is. And you look at one rule after another, and it's basically poor people, particularly poor blacks and minorities, that they're trying, that their rules basically keep from getting guns. When you look at states that allow discretion in terms of police to determine who gets a permit, the people that and these are heavily Democratic areas that control these places, the only people that they give permits to are very wealthy, very well politically connected people, or very powerful people, not poor blacks who live in high crime urban areas. You know, it's nice, I'm happy that in New York City or Los Angeles, there's 240 people who have a concealed carry permit out of 8.5 million adults. And those people are all very well connected politically.
There are 240 out of 8 million.
Right. And that's because they have discretion. You have to prove to the sheriff's office that you should be able to get a permit, that you are justified in getting it. In New York City, it's almost as bad. My son is a producer for John Stossel, who works on Fox. And Stossel went in there, showed them literally dozens of what seemed like pretty serious death threats. But the New York City police said, no, we don't think any of these death threats are really sufficient enough for us to let you have a permit for a handgun. And so they denied him. But, you know, you go through and look at a lot of the powerful labor union members and others who have permits in New York City to carry. But the thing is, again, it's not the poor people. I mean, even somebody like Stossel couldn't get it. But it's not poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas in New York. Their chances of getting a permit are like zero. And so, you know, it's just outright racism in terms of who the Democrats in many different ways allow to protect themselves.
Yeah, and that is those states that technically have concealed carry legal, but it's at the discretion of law enforcement, and so only very connected people. But what about, you know, the other types of regulations you're talking about? High taxes, high, you know, hurdles for, you know, just simply getting training enough so that you can even go and buy a gun. You know, I remember reading, and I can't think of her name now, the gal in the Washington Times who tried to get a
Emily Miller.
Thank you. Emily Miller. Emily gets her gun, I think was the name of the series.
Right.
And she was talking about the enormous amount of hassle it was. And then somebody was actually talking about it being very similar in Maryland and other areas. Chicago tried to make it almost impossible for you to actually get a concealed carry permit or one of the cards that you have to carry or to even own a gun by their various restrictions. Again, to your point, I might be able to go through that hassle, but somebody who actually is living day to day with a threat of possible gang violence or maybe getting their money stolen when they're getting off the bus and walking to their front door, those people don't matter. And that's, but I know you don't want to come to conclusions about motivations, but I'm gonna, because if the main impact of gun control legislation is to disarm poor people, a lion's share in some cities of whom are black people, then why can't we just say that the reason why the Democrats are trying to, you know, enact such strict gun control is to keep poor black people?
Right. Well, I mean, surely if you allow people to be victims of crime, if you allow their property to be stolen, if you allow them to be beaten up and injured, that helps keep them poor. You know, if they're harmed in various ways, if businesses are afraid to open up in those parts of the city in order to give people jobs, that helps keep them poor. And so, you know, it'd be great if the police were there to protect people all the time. Anybody who's read my books know that I think police are the single most important factor for reducing crime. But the police understand themselves that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred, and that raises the question, what should people do when they're having to confront a criminal by themselves?
But now, John, they don't even want the police to be able to do their jobs any longer. The new book, let's direct everybody to the new book. It is called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. That's the subtitle of the book, but simply The War on Guns, easy to find. John Lott, L-O-T-T, on my program. Thanks, John. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.